This is The Book Show. I'm Claire Nichols, here with a bonus episode with one of the Stella Prize shortlisted authors. Vicky Laveau-Harvey has written all her life, but The Erratics is her first published book. And Sarah Lestrange is here with me. Sarah, The Erratics, it's had a bit of a roller coaster ride as a book, hasn't it?
Oh, it sure has. So it was first brought out by Finch Publishing after it won their memoir prize, but then Finch went bust and the book was out of print, so it only lived for 6 months essentially. But there is a happy ending for this book because it's now been picked up by HarperCollins, so it's going to have a much longer life.
Oh, well, thank goodness for that. I was also surprised to learn that Vicky has lived in just so many places.
She sure has. Vicky grew up in Canada and she lived in France then for 25 years, where she worked as a translator. And then she moved to Australia in 1988 with her family, where she worked at Macquarie University teaching French and literary translation for 18 years.
Wow. So what did you make of The Erratics?
To be honest, I don't often read memoir. My nose is firmly in fiction books these days. But this one is funny, sad about her ageing parents. And there are beautiful passages about the Canadian prairie. And Claire, because Vicky has had such a full life, it means she's one of the older shortlisted authors on the list.
I'm very pleased, obviously. And I'm kicking myself for never sending anything anywhere earlier in my life. I've been a writer for a long time, but I have not shared things. I tend to love the process and spend a lot of time at my desk. I'm not very good at sending anything anywhere.
Well, now you know.
I know. No, this has been wonderful. This is absolutely fascinating process, and I've met such wonderful people.
Well, it's good that you did send in your memoir for The Erratics to that Finch Publishing Prize, because here you are now. Take us into that world that you bring to life, writing about your mother and your father and your mother's mental illness. Your mother, you describe her as mad as a meat axe. Why did you want to write about this relationship at this time?
I think it was an opportunity. I've often written about my family of origin, as they call them, but it's very unwieldy because everyone's family story is very complicated and it's very hard to know what thread to pull, which bit to grab onto and go with. What happened here was that I got a phone call from my sister saying that my mother had broken her hip and was in hospital. And for the 6 years following that, I got to know my father again because my father was in dire straits health-wise. He'd actually been starved by my mother, but we didn't realize this. He was very thin and very weak, and I went regularly to Western Canada to spend a few weeks with him several times a year to help him. We had been estranged from our parents for almost 20 years and had little idea what was going on with them. But for this six-month period, we spent a lot of time with them and endeavored to solve the problems that they'd created for themselves. And that period of 6 years was a manageable period, and a lot of things happened during that period. It was a common experience to many people to have to deal with their aging parents in difficult situations. It was a manageable story to tell. It encapsulated a lot of things that I had wanted to write about my family over the years. So there are flashbacks, but the actual period of time itself was manageable to tell about.
Your mother breaks her hip and is in rehab, and so you return to Canada, as you say. But you don't see your role as helping her. You see your role as helping your father. Can you describe your relationship with your mother?
Oh, relationship is a difficult word with my mother. My mother was diagnosed during this period when she was much older, when she had broken her hip. We had her assessed by teams who went in, and she was diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder, which is a terrible thing to be afflicted with and a terrible thing for the people living around those who have this. That had obviously always been the problem, but it, exacerbated when she got older. Having a relationship with someone who has a personality disorder is, it's kind of not possible. There is no empathy on the part of that person. And as a mother, she was interested in what I could do. She lived vicariously through my successes at school and in other areas like music. They were hers. I don't think she actually recognized me as a separate person until I did go away to university. I think that was a big shock for her. I think until that time, I was part of her. I was a performing part that she got satisfaction through vicariously. So a relationship, I was quite cluey, quite young, about who my mother was, about not exactly what was wrong with her, but the fact that she wasn't like most mothers and that I could not expect her to behave that way.
How difficult was it to write knowing your family members might not like what they read about themselves?
Well, my father did not live to see the book. I don't know if I would have given it to him because by that time he died at 98. He was getting a little bit foggy at that point. My sister did read the manuscript. I knew that she sees things differently, and that is part of the book, is how differently we reacted to situations. She laughed in a lot of the right places, so I was very pleased about that, because I did want this book to be about how sometimes very difficult situations are very funny in details. And I think that's something I wanted to say to people, everyone's in a difficult situation at some point, but there's often something you can hang on to that isn't just the dire horribleness of what you're going through. And it was a book that I wrote having, in a lot of ways, dealt with the trauma of the situation in other ways. It wasn't a cathartic write, if you like, because I don't actually believe that when you write as catharsis, that you write something that other people want to read. It's useful often to write things to help you get through the feelings that you're dealing with. But I think if you want to write something that might touch other people and that readers might enjoy or perhaps even get something from, you need to do it from a slightly more detached point and having dealt with your own issues before you go in there full tilt.
And to be fair, while you might be critical of some of your sister's responses, you're also very self-aware and self-critical too.
Well, I think I was pretty well critical of everybody in that book, myself included. I did want to be even-handed. I really didn't want to settle any scores on any page. I didn't.
This is a memoir about that six-year period when you're travelling back to Canada to support your father. But it's also a beautiful example of nature writing. The way you describe the landscape had me captivated. So one example here is in summer the fields are sensible, right-angled squares of sulphur yellow and clean pale green, rapeseed and young wheat. In winter, the cold will kill you. Nothing personal. What was it about the draw of writing about what you saw as well as what you were doing?
Well, I have lived in Australia since 1988, and I adore Australia. I'm a citizen. I wouldn't live anywhere else. I also lived in France for 25 years before I moved here. But I was born in Canada. I spent my very young years in that landscape that I describe in the book. And I've said elsewhere that that is the landscape where my heart lives, because I think we all have one landscape that marked us as a child and that we go home to, and it is a surprisingly beautiful landscape. You have the foothills and the Rocky Mountains in the distance. You have a lot of wildlife. It's a supremely beautiful landscape. And that book that I ended up writing is kind of a love song to that part of that country too, which is a very, very beautiful place.
Well, the Stella judges comment on The Light and Shade in this book. They say, somehow, despite the dark subject matter, this book has a smile at its core, and Laveau Harvey shows constant wit when depicting some harrowing times. Did you work on this humour, or did it come naturally?
It's one of my best defence mechanisms. I'm really good at that. No, I just remember at the time, my sister and I would alternatively be crying and laughing sometimes. I didn't work on it. It was just there.
That's Vicky Laveau-Harvey with Sarah Lestrange. The Erratics is published by HarperCollins. And to end this bonus episode, some music by some more Australian women. This is Your Nail and Your Hammer by OPEP. Cold little heart breaks apart with your nail and your hammer. Bang, bang to the beat of my heart. Break it with your hammer. Cold little heart. You wrote to me on the internet. You just passed your driving test and I felt safe.